I'm not going to sit down. That way I don't have to get to the floor to pick it up. I've got two subjects today. Both have the same word in them. It's the subject of baptism. And it's going to be something you probably haven't heard before. When people see the word baptism, they think in terms of water. And when they see the word water, they think in terms of baptism. But I'd like to draw something else. We'll talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then we'll talk about baptism in water. But somehow these are going to get intermixed, so just listen carefully. But we'll start out with Ephesians 4, 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Okay, wonderful verse. But it says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Okay, when we say one baptism, you say, well, what baptism is it? There are lots of baptisms. If you think in terms of water baptism, you can think of, as the different churches hold to it, a baptism in infancy for salvation, or baptism in infancy as a dedication, or baptism of believers for salvation, that would be Church of Christ, baptism of believers three times forward, the Reverend Brethren, baptism by immersion of infants in the Greek Orthodox Church for salvation. These are all different baptisms. In terms of the Pentecostals, it'd be the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where you speak in tongues. So when you speak of one baptism, which is the one baptism? Well, see, none of those could be the one baptism. Or, because one of those is, then all the rest are wrong. So the one baptism has to be what we quoted earlier in 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is that which puts us part of the body of Christ. So when we were saved, we were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and consequently had the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience, kindness. These things were given to us with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to get... let's look at baptism by water for just a minute, because so much of teaching in all the churches is which is the right method of doing it by water. Matthew 3... In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who is spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. In other words, John the Baptist would not baptize somebody unless there's evidence of repentance. Now you see this also in Acts 10, where Peter said, "Who can refuse water, that these should not be baptized with water, seeing they have received the Holy Spirit?" In other words, Peter also insisted on evidence. Since they had received the Holy Spirit, he had baptized with water. John insisted on repentance before water. And also, in Acts 26:20, where is Acts? "I preach first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles. Also, I preach that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds." He wanted to see evidence of their repentance, evidence of their belief. So it looks like the water baptism is, I'll read it here in verse 11 of chapter 3 of Matthew, "I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn, and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." I'm baptized with water. I'm just a man, and I'm just using water. The Lord Jesus is going to come. He is not just a man, and he uses something that works. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now, this little phrase of John occurs in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all pointing out that Jesus is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus himself said it in Acts chapter 1. "Do not leave Jerusalem," Jesus is speaking, "but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Now what we're getting at, what the Bible's getting at, well, let me back up. There are many commands in the Bible that do not say. He tells us not to lie. If we don't lie, that doesn't save us. He tells us not to do lots of things. If we don't do those things, we obey God, it still doesn't save. There are commands that save and commands that don't save. Baptism with water is a command, but it doesn't save. The Bible makes a very, very clear emphasis on that, that there's a baptism that saves. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is the one baptism. If you look at 1 Corinthians 1:17, is Christ divided? Verse 13. Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. So no one can say that you were baptized into my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I don't remember that I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. He didn't want these two things mixed. The gospel would cause people to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And baptism with water would be a symbol of that which really works. The water just symbolizes the Holy Spirit. Now he tells us here that he didn't baptize, but the household of Stephanus and Crispus and Gaius. But if you look back where that actually happened, in the book of Acts, chapter 18, I think, he's writing this to Corinth. But we look back at Corinth. Chapter 18, verse 7. Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. Now many of the Corinthians heard him and believed and were baptized, but he only baptized four of them. So who baptized the rest? Maybe. There weren't any believers before he came, so it may have been Silas and Timothy, but it doesn't say. But we do know they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And they weren't baptized with water. So when we look at the book of Acts, and we see baptism, we pretty much always think that it was water. It might not have been. Let's look at Acts 16, verse 31. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all of the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their hands. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. Immediately, they were all baptized. Why do we think water? Especially when Jesus and John said, Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit, that which saves. It happened immediately. You see it also earlier in chapter 16 about Lydia. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." Well, if they'd been baptized with water, of course they would have considered her a believer in the Lord. But she was saying, if you can see the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, come and stay with me. There are two instances, probably more than two, but I'm thinking two. One in Acts 8, where people were baptized with water and they weren't saved. Verse 9. I'll jump into verse But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news to the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. Now this was baptism by water. How do we know? When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that didn't work. Look at Acts 19. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Why did he ask that? Well, I guess he got suspicious. He didn't see the evidence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. So they said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked them, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," he replied. "Baptism with water." Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Okay, my major emphasis is what I think the Bible is teaching, that water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It is not the Holy Spirit. It does not save. It certainly doesn't save infants, because there's no way infants can repent. It certainly doesn't. There's no miracle in the water. You just get wet. Think of what I've missed, left out. But let's get back to the command then in Matthew 28. "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and ensuring I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is the basic command to make disciples of all nations. This is why David is going to Oman. This is why we are here, to make disciples of this nation. We do it by, now, this may be speaking of water, because it says, "You baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So this is assuming that this is going to include the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you see in Acts 2, which seems to be a fulfillment of the prophecy that Jesus said, "You'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days in the future." And then Acts 2 is a description of that. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." All right? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 15, Acts 11, Peter had to explain to the church at Jerusalem why he ate with Gentiles, why he stayed with the Gentiles in chapter 10, when it says, "Who can forbid water that they should not be baptized, seeing they have received the Holy Spirit as well as we?" And so he's explaining, giving his defense in verse 15, as he began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. The Holy Spirit came on these people in Caesarea just like it came on us. Then I remember what the Lord had said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So, if God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God? When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance and delight." Now, this says several things. It says that when these people were baptized, when they received the Holy Spirit, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. In chapter 10, 43. It also says it's the same thing happened to them at the beginning. So Peter is saying they were saved at Pentecost. Didn't say they were saved before. They did not receive the Holy Spirit before. Then I remember what the Lord has said, "John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. So it is major, is repentance, belief, and receiving the Holy Spirit. Our new birth. We're born of water and of the Spirit. The water is not baptism, it's just physical birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So we're born of the Spirit, born above, from above. Our life changes. We receive forgiveness of sins. And we receive love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and self-control. These are just the natures. This is the evidence. When we have that evidence, we should be baptized with water. It's a public declaration and a symbol of what's already happened. It's an act of obedience, but it isn't a saving act of obedience. I mentioned in the beginning, there are things you obey God that don't save. Peter speaks again in Acts 15. "Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith." Now, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are. We're saved by the Holy Spirit. The evidence, when we have the evidence, should be declared by being baptized with water. It's a picture of, I keep thinking of other references. How about First Peter 3, I think. I mention these things because some of the people who emphasize water use these same passages and they don't say that. In it, speaking of Noah's Ark, in it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism. Water does not symbolize water. Water doesn't symbolize water. It symbolized baptism that now saves us. It's baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is God's right hand. Back to what he said at the beginning, water baptism is something that man does. Holy Spirit baptism is something God does. One is a symbol of the other. It is like, in one sense, water baptism is like circumcision. Circumcision was a physical act. But back in the Old Testament, Moses says, circumcise your hearts. And in Colossians chapter 2, there's a physical circumcision and a circumcision of the hearts. Stephen, before he is put to death, he said, you uncircumcised in heart and ears, why do you resist the Holy Spirit? You weren't. So when it compares in Colossians chapter 2, it's also for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. Holy Spirit circumcision. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised him with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Physical circumcision, Holy Spirit circumcision. Physical baptism, Holy Spirit baptism. And Holy Spirit baptism compares with the circumcision of the heart. Both the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, those of you who have not been baptized by water, I want you to check first if you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. We've not emphasized baptism because we don't think that makes you a church member. When you receive Jesus Christ, you're a member of the body of Christ, and consequently you're a member of this body. We don't think it should take more to get into the local body than it takes to get into the kingdom. You got into the kingdom by grace through faith. By definition, you're a member of the local body of Christ. Without anything else. That's why there's no, quote, church membership here. We might have to have lessons on church membership. No. If you're saved, you're part of the body of Christ. However, we were told to baptize those people who have the evidence. Part of the evidence, in this case, it was speaking in tongues, but also the evidence of love and joy and peace, and some clear. Now, I've baptized people with water, just weren't saved. My only consolation is so did Philip. But we don't want to do that. So if you have not been baptized, I'd like you to consider it. What we would have to do is I have to hear your testimony and have to be sure you understand this water baptism doesn't do anything except declare to everybody that you're a child of God. Now this is pretty comprehensive, and I talk pretty fast in a lot of scripture, But again, it speaks of both kinds of baptism, but baptism of the Spirit first, and baptism with water second. Very likely, many people have been saved who never got baptized with water. We can guess that in Corinth, because it said many of them believed and were baptized, and Paul said he only baptized four. So if you are clearly a Christian and you like to be baptized, see Larry or me, since David's leaving tomorrow, and we'd like to hear your testimony and be sure you understand what this is. Normally, you know me well enough, I generally don't teach on these kinds of things, but they are in the Scripture. And just to encourage you, there's something that's taught much more in the New Testament than baptism. And that's the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that's another part of the great saving work of Christ. Christ is coming, and so although the church puts a lot of emphasis on baptism, we should preach more on the other. Let's pray. Father, thank you very much for what you've done through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that brought us to yourself and brought us to each other. We pray that you would lead those who need to be baptized with water, that it be another act of obedience on their part. In Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. If you're new or haven't been here for a while, I'd like to visit with you, or if not me, with somebody else.
How about number 118? When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingle down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were oppressed and far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
Thank you.